I'm joined by Rebecca Bourne, who came up with the idea for No More Kennels after struggling to find pet care when traveling for work. No More Kennels started small scale, but is now a large doggy daycare, dog hotel, and dog spa. Hi there, Rebecca.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me today. We're going to be talking about all things leaving your pet when you go away and the struggles that pet owners face. So you came up with the idea for No More Kennels when realizing that it's quite a struggle for pet owners, dog owners, and cat owners to find somewhere for their pet to be when they go away. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I opened it just being a dog owner who really struggled to find something that I felt comfortable with when I needed to go away for work.
What do you think pet owners are struggling with? Why is it so difficult to find somewhere that you trust and that you feel safe leaving your pet?
I think we're more aware now of what can go wrong. When I opened No More Kennels, there was no social media. I think MySpace was about, and that was not really for sharing information. So I think now if something goes wrong, people are very quick to go onto social media and to share their stories. And I think that then adds to the worry that we have as an owner of, well, we're safe because I thought this place was safe. This place looked great and I can see this and someone said that. And last decade ago, it was more to do with what so-and-so said in the next close and or what a friend of a family said. And it was only a few people who had opinions on where to take your dog. Whereas now, thousands of people have stuff to say about all different places and the type of accommodation for your pet.
That's very true. So what is No More Kennels then? What do you do?
It's very different to what it started out as. I'm happy to say that. It started out with me believing it was for little chihuahuas, little lap dogs, and the bedrooms were made to reflect that. So they had little tiny beds in and they had like these gorgeous paneling. And then our first week, we had Labradors, Ridgebacks, German Shepherds who decided to rip them all apart. So it's for all dogs. It's really opened my eyes. I thought that people who wanted their dogs to stay in dog hotels were the owners of the little baby, you know, tiny lap dogs. And it's not. Dogs come in all different shapes and sizes. And even the biggest, you know, German Shepherds, Rottweilers, Dobermans, they're still someone's baby.
Yeah. I mean, my dog Soot is 4 years old and he's still my baby. And he very much acts like a baby a lot of the time. He's four, but I do worry when I'm leaving him somewhere new, when I'm going away or I'm leaving him with a family member or a sitter. What kind of things can dog owners especially do to get their dog prepared for being with someone new?
I think letting them know that it's okay to be away from mum. I think the problem we have is with lockdown, dogs are really struggling with separation anxiety. So just going out for 10 minutes and leaving your dog at home. One thing that has changed is a lot of places now are dog friendly. So whereas we used to leave our dogs at home when we were going out for a meal, we can take them. So even if it's a lovely day and you think, oh, I'd love to take my dog out with me today, maybe it's best for him to leave him at home just to get him used to mum coming back and going out and coming back and knowing that you're coming back. When you do come back, don't make a big fuss of him, you know, and we leave and we go, oh my God, I'll see you later. I love you, miss you. And we're making it into this big thing instead of just walking out the door and then coming back and ignoring them. Definitely start taking them to a daycare, only for a couple of hours, just building up. It's always about building up and taking it slow and getting your dog used to different environments, different people, letting him know he's safe, he's okay.
I had to do that with Soot when he was a puppy and I was leaving him alone for the first time. I'd set up a FaceTime so I could see what he was doing and I would go out of the house just for 2 minutes watching him on FaceTime. And then when he was calm, I'd come back. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. It does, and it's not easy.
How about if someone's dog is already suffering from separation anxiety? It's one thing to train a dog to be alone who isn't scared already. But what if my dog already has separation anxiety? What can I do?
I think it's looking at the reasons behind it. Dogs, like people, they all have different personalities, and there's no one fix for all dogs. So let's say your dog's come from a puppy farm. We then need to address that as one issue before the separation anxiety. We need to really go back to basics. I think it's making them feel secure in their home and doing some obedience training with them. Not so much, again, stepping away from focusing on that separation anxiety, looking at different things that are leading to that.
And say I've gotten to grips with the separation anxiety, or I'm confident leaving my dog alone, or I've decided I'm going to take my dog to a sitter or to no more kennels while I go on holiday. What things should I check no matter where I'm taking the dog? Are there licenses and insurances that I need to make sure that place has?
It's really important to check. Look at the engagement from regular customers. So look at their Facebook page, look at the pictures that they're posting, and look at their mums of the dogs underneath. What are they saying? Are they saying, great, oh, he always has a lovely time when he goes here. They're real customers, they're real people. That's important. That's the first thing I would ever do. I would go and look at real customers, what real customers are saying. You could even privately message them and say, look, hope you don't mind. What is your experience of this business? I'm going to take my dog here. I'd like to know directly from you as a customer. Can you tell me about it? I think that's really important. Legally, every single person who cares for your dog, who you pay, must have a license. There are loopholes with home boarders, which is so annoying. I'm part of an association that is trying to make sure that every single person who minds a dog, who takes care of a dog, has a license and has insurance. I'm going to go back to an awful story that I heard only a couple of days ago. This dog went to stay with a home boarder, someone who just set up a Facebook page that said, I mind dogs at home. Had loads of reviews, great reviews, and the person took the dog there. Whilst the dog was there, the dog got attacked by a Rhodesian Ridgeback. Their dog was a Shih Tzu. It's close to death. It's still in the vets now. The bill stands at £6,000. The home boarder is saying, I've not got the money. I'm not paying for it. And the person who has the dog doesn't have insurance and is saying, well, I thought my dog would be covered by your insurance. And she's saying, no, my insurance won't cover it. What she means is she doesn't have insurance. She hasn't got insurance. And the reason she hasn't got insurance is because she hasn't got a license. So my insurance, it goes hand in hand with my license. I've got a home boarding license and I've got a commercial dog boarding license and dog daycare. And I can't get one without the other. So this tells me that that lady has nothing. And this is why this person now has £6,000 to find for their dog when they thought that their dog was going to a reputable place. If anything, they probably thought the dog's better there than a kennels. But no, as part of my license, I need to have at least a level 3 in canine welfare. People are just setting up that they don't know. They don't know the cues that dogs are given that they're going to attack. They don't know how to mix dogs. They don't even know simple things like bloat. You know, feeding dogs, then they're letting dogs go on a walk. Dogs can die within 10 minutes. You know, of bloat. So it's so frustrating that there's so many people out there who are uninsured and people are just giving them that their babies because they're going off fake reviews and oh, this place looks great. It's not.
So it's really important to do the background checks then and make sure that the place you're sending your cat or your dog is properly insured and has all the licenses. So what's the best thing then about running a doggy hotel?
So our, is it called a mantra or our company slogan? I don't know what you would call it, but something we live by every day is that you can't change the world for every dog. But for one dog, we can change their world. And that's so important to us And we take our time to get to know each individual dog. We'll go the extra mile. And it's about being realistic. There's so many things in a dog boarding environment that aren't going to just fit into what you would expect daily. So dogs get sick, dogs get homesick, dogs do really struggle. And then what happens? Do you just lock them away and go, when mum picks them up, oh, they've had the worst time? You can't. You've got to have things in place. So there's me, there's my sister, and there's three of my trusted staff members who all have home boarding licenses, who, if a dog is really struggling, we'll call mum and we'll say, I'm going to take this dog home. And it's about being honest. It's about being transparent and saying, we're so much better than kennels, but we're not home. And it's about having that plan in place when, I don't want to say things go wrong, but when things don't go to plan.
That makes a lot of sense. I know some dogs, not every dog's the same, are they? So some dogs will like that environment and some dogs won't fit in so well. And you just have to see what suits your own pup.
We're the biggest dog hotel in the UK. We're the only dog hotel, boarding, daycare, that you can watch your pets on CCTV. I'm happy. The council, my insurance company, mums, dads, anyone, they can all log on, they can all watch, they can all see what happened. I think it gives people that extra bit of confidence to say, well, I can look at any time I want to and there's nothing to hide. You know, if your dog's not mixing because they've been a little bit snappy, they get put in time out, they can see we don't use any kind of negative training or anything. The only form of training we use on site is they go into timeout for 10 minutes and that, you know, they'll call up and they'll say, why is my dog in timeout? We'll say, well, he was humping.
I'd be on there all the time. I'd be constantly checking the CCTV trying to look my butt.
That is the problem. You know, we have husbands say, don't give her that code, because last year I couldn't get her to do anything. She wouldn't get off that phone. She wrecked my holiday. You know, so it's a blessing and a curse. But for me, I would want to know why. If I was dropping my dog off somewhere, why can't I look? Why can't I see what's happening? Why hasn't everyone got it? I don't get it.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much for talking to us today, Rebecca, about all things doggy daycare and doggy hotels. It sounds fabulous.
Thank you for having me.
This has been The Pet Perspective by Napo Pet Insurance. You can find more things that your pet would want you to know at napo.pet.